The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from one email and various websites, starting with an email from the American Foundation for the Blind. New research from AFB, the AI quagmire, benefits, risks, and aspirations through a disability lens. AFB.org, AI research number 2. The American Foundation for the Blind has released a new study on the experiences and perceptions of people with and without disabilities using AI. The report, The AI Quagmire, Benefits, Risks, and Aspirations Through a Disability Lens, dives into the promise and concerns related to AI for people with disabilities, measured against those of the non-disabled population. This study provides a snapshot in the fast-changing AI landscape, said Stephanie Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, AFB Chief Public Policy and Research Officer. Many of the top issues we revealed will continue to blossom as AI matures, and the insight we gained will help both developers and policymakers chart a path forward so that AI can be leveraged to level the playing field for people with disabilities. The study conducted by AFB's Public Policy and Research Institute, PPRI, builds on groundbreaking research released last year, there's a hot link for that, that identified areas of consensus among AI thought leaders in government, industry, and the nonprofit sector on key issues related to AI's impact on the lives of people with disabilities. The second phase of PPRI's research surveyed 1,070 participants with disabilities and 665 participants without disabilities. As the largest study of its kind, it identifies shared concerns among disabled and non-disabled respondents while spotlighting key areas where AI innovation presents significant opportunities to expand inclusion and independence of people with disabilities. Key findings include: on the topic of privacy, 73% of all respondents preferred humans over AI chatbots when private information is involved. Blind people are far more enthusiastic than sighted people, 74% versus 41%, about the development of autonomous vehicles, AVs, because of the barriers many blind people face as non-drivers. However, only 49% of blind people who have used AVs find them fully accessible. People with disabilities are more likely than people without disabilities to use AI tools like image recognition and voice assistance for a wide variety of tasks and as life hacks to enhance their independence. AI could shut doors to access in healthcare and employment, where disabled participants were nearly 3 times more likely to experience healthcare denials, and disabled job seekers reported greater challenges using automated job application and screening platforms. In addition to these findings, the report provides further insight into the broad use of AI in society today, spotlighting findings that shed light on some differences in experience across race, age, gender, and other variables uncovered in the study. Recognizing that businesses and governments continue to find ways to integrate AI into their operations and engage with consumers, PPRI has provided recommendations for advocates, industry, and government. Access to data in this report can help ensure that this emerging technology is used to expand independence, privacy, and equality for people with disabilities from the outset. To access the full findings and recommendations, visit www.afb.org/AI Research Number 2. And I will read that if I have time. As promised a few weeks ago, I am reminding listeners about the NCRS fundraiser through GroupRaise.com from Dave & Buster's fundraising campaigns. To support North Carolina Reading Service, help us reach our goal, organized by Tara Racine. North Carolina Reading Service provides access to daily news, local publications, education materials, and entertainment programs for people who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled, 24/7 and free of charge. Our mission is to bridge the information gap for individuals who cannot access printed materials and to connect them to their peers, family, and community. So the campaign starts April 1st, that's a Wednesday, 2026. Get notified when it goes live so you can help North Carolina Reading Service reach their goal of 100 power cards from Dave and Buster's Play Place. Support and play. Get your Dave and Buster's power card to support North Carolina Reading Service for $20 per card. Redeem at any one of 150-plus Dave and Buster's locations. How it works. Number one, order. Place an order using the form online. How it works. Number two, support. 50% of each Dave and Buster's power card purchased is donated back to the organization, NCRS. Number three, enjoy. Visit any Dave and Buster's location to pick up your power card and start playing. Bonus, encourage your community to do the same. You can get your power cards, get your Dave and Buster's power card to support North Carolina Reading Service with $20 per card. Power card comes loaded with 100 chips and can be redeemed at any one of the 150-plus Dave and Buster's locations. So the form you fill out asks for your first and last name, how many cards you want to buy, and your email address. And the campaign starts April 1 and goes through April 30. So keep that in mind as you listen to the show today. From ACB.org, I have two items. Speak out against a new Notice and Cure bill. Posted March 26th, ACB signed on to a letter with other disability advocates to reach out to Congress to speak out against a new Notice and Cure bill that would amend the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. Similar bills have unfortunately continued to pop up over the years. These bills would give businesses a time frame to make their services accessible to people with disabilities after they are notified of the access barrier. The newest bill, H.R. 6453, would give private businesses 30 days to make their businesses accessible in the built environment after a person with a disability notifies them of the access barrier. At this time, the bill speaks only of the built environment, not digital access. ACB signed on to this support letter, urging the Judiciary Committee, the governing committee, to work against this bill. The ADA has been around for 36 years. Businesses should already know what they are required to do. Furthermore, a notice and cure period makes it impossible for persons with disabilities to access the businesses when needed. A patron should not be burdened with notifying the business and then be told to wait at least 30 days to gain access. The support letter can be found on the advocacy page of the ACB website, which you can access at the hot link, acb.org. The second post on March 27th was regarding Senator Markey's letter to Education Secretary Linda McMahon about the U.S. Department of Education's recent decision to remove the Randolph Shepherd priority for blind entrepreneurs. Senator Edward Markey, ranking member of the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, sent a letter to Education Secretary Linda McMahon raising concerns about the U.S. Department of Education's recent decision to remove the Randolph Shepherd priority for blind entrepreneurs operating dining facilities on U.S. Army installations. The letter calls on the Education Department to immediately rescind the December 2025 limitation notice and restore full application of the Randolph Shepherd priority. ACB played a key role in informing this effort, working closely with Senator Markey's office to highlight the real-world impact of the decision. We emphasize that blind entrepreneurs have demonstrated their expertise for decades by delivering high-quality services on military installations, and that diminishing these opportunities undermines a long-standing bipartisan commitment to self-employment and independence for people who are blind or have low vision. We will continue working with partners and policymakers to protect and strengthen the Randolph Shepherd program. You can read the letter at the hot link. A list of committee members is at the top left of the United States Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, Washington, D.C., 20510-6350, telephone 202-224-5175, letterhead. Dated March 27, 2026, the Honorable Linda McMahon, Secretary, U.S. Department of Education, 400 Maryland Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20202. Dear Secretary McMahon, for decades, the Randolph Shepherd Program has opened doors for blind Americans to build successful small businesses and gain independence and financial stability. These entrepreneurs do not just change their own lives, they hire local workers, strengthen local economies, and proudly serve our men and women in uniform. On December 23, 2025, you changed the Randolph Shepherd priority for blind entrepreneurs to operate dining facilities on U.S. Army installations nationwide. This action halts blind entrepreneurs from serving our service members and puts in jeopardy at least 24 dining contracts at 22 Army installations. The Department of Education, the department, provided little evidence or justification for this change, which shows a deep disregard for the history and purpose of the Randolph Shepherd Program. We should be expanding employment opportunities for people with disabilities, not rolling it back. I urge you to immediately rescind the December 2025 limitation notice and restore full application of the Randolph Shepherd priority for military dining facilities at Army installations. I further urge you to uphold this priority for all military dining locations. Since its passage in 1936, the Randolph Shepherd Act has created meaningful job opportunities for trained and licensed blind vendors in competitive integrated employment. The Act requires federal agencies to prioritize blind vendors in the operation of vending facilities, including the operation of cafeterias on federal property. The Act was enacted to help level the playing field and reduce the disparately high unemployment rate for people with disabilities, which is twice that of individuals without disabilities. About 1,400 blind entrepreneurs nationwide participate in the Randolph Shepherd Program. For almost 90 years, blind vendors have demonstrably fulfilled the responsibilities of the program with excellence, generating reliable revenue for their local economies and dignified livelihoods for themselves and their employees. There are footnotes for the citations above. I'm not going to read those. Your approval of a limitation on the Randolph Shepherd priority, as applied to all Army dining contracts, marks the first time in history that such a categorical exemption spanning multiple facilities has been granted. The resulting effect is to displace experienced blind entrepreneurs and jeopardize the financial stability of these vendors and their employees. It is also extremely disheartening to see that such a decision has been made without providing adequate justification or supporting documentation, despite being required to do so. In fact, contrary to the department's assertion that the Randolph Shepherd priority adversely affects the interests of the United States at Army installations, Randolph Shepherd vendors have consistently earned awards and recognition from the Army for their outstanding performance. More footnotes involved. Moreover, this decision undermines the bipartisan legacy of the Randolph Shepherd Program, which Congress has repeatedly reaffirmed over many decades as a model for providing meaningful employment and entrepreneurial opportunity to blind individuals. The department's abrupt departure from that commitment erodes public trust in the department and adds further arbitrary barriers to success for blind Americans. The Randolph Shepherd Program does not provide handouts. Instead, it offers a hand up to individuals seeking entrepreneurship and economic self-sufficiency. To help me better understand your decision to dismantle this program, please respond in writing to the following questions by April 10, 2026. Number one. Are you committed to complying with the Randolph Shepherd Act of 1936? Number two, have any Randolph Shepherd Army dining contracts not been renewed since the limitation issued by the department? If so, please provide a list of each non-renewal and subsequent location. Number three, how many blind vendors participating in the Randolph Shepherd program have been awarded permits in accordance with the Randolph Shepherd priority each year from 2021 through 2026? Number four, how will you ensure that Randolph Shepherd participants are not discriminated against based on their disability status during contract award processes with this limitation in place? Number five, will the department support blind vendors who lose their contracts as a result of your approval of the limitation for Army locations? If so, how? Number six, provide documentation that the Randolph-Shepard priority imposes a threat to the Army. Number seven, what specific threat or risk of harm prompted the department to issue this policy change with nationwide scope? Number eight, is this limitation of the Randolph-Shepard priority an effort toward eliminating small business participation in government contracting? If not, how will you ensure that small businesses are not disadvantaged following this limitation? Ensuring blind individuals continue to have the opportunity to operate and manage the facilities that our service members rely on is essential to upholding the economic independence and civil rights of blind Americans who have faithfully served their communities and country. Thank you for your attention to this critical matter. Sincerely, Edward J. Markey, Ranking Member, Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. Copies to the Honorable Daniel P. Driscoll, Secretary of the Army, Department of the Army. From FightingBlindness.org, we have A Race Against Blindness announces Spring 2026 Luxury Vehicle Fundraiser in partnership with Foundation Fighting Blindness to advance inherited retinal disease research. Dateline Scottsdale, Arizona, March 16. A Race Against Blindness, RAB, today announced the launch of its Spring 2026 National Fundraiser, Two Winners, One Drive for Vision Research, in strategic partnership with the Foundation Fighting Blindness. The campaign will run from March through June 2026 and will directly support research focused on inherited retinal diseases, including retinitis pigmentosa, RP, and Bardet-Biedl syndrome, BBS. The initiative reflects a shared commitment to accelerating therapeutic development for individuals affected by vision loss. At the conclusion of the campaign, A Race Against Blindness intends to grant funds to the Foundation Fighting Blindness, specifically earmarked for inherited retinal disease and BBS research. Demonstrated impact in RP and BBS research. Since its founding in 2023, A Race Against Blindness has funded $5.1 million in research dedicated to retinitis pigmentosa and Bardet-Biedl syndrome. This grant support has funded translational research, preclinical development, and clinical advancement of the planned BBS1 subretinal gene therapy clinical trial in partnership with Axovia Therapeutics, that's AXOVIA. The first in-human trial is expected to begin in early 2026, marking a significant milestone for patients living with BBS1-associated retinal degeneration. Our mission is to move therapies from concept to clinic with urgency, said Stephen Johnston, co-founder of A Race Against Blindness. This new partnership with the Foundation Fighting Blindness allows us to support a nationally respected research organization while continuing to prioritize children affected by RP and Bardet-Biedl syndrome. Strategic partnership with Foundation Fighting Blindness. Founded in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has raised nearly $1 billion to drive research leading to preventions, treatments, and cures for inherited retinal diseases. The foundation has played a central role in advancing the field, including supporting the development of the first FDA-approved gene therapy for an inherited retinal disease. There's no citation for that or a footnote. By aligning the fundraiser with the Foundation's 2026 Vision Walk season, A Race Against Blindness is leveraging a nationally recognized event that unites families, researchers, clinicians, and advocates across the country in pursuit of sight-saving breakthroughs. The Foundation Fighting Blindness has long believed that innovative partnerships are how we close the gap between promising science and real treatments for patients. A Race Against Blindness has demonstrated an extraordinary ability to mobilize resources with urgency, and this campaign is a natural extension of our shared commitment to patients living with inherited retinal diseases like retinitis pigmentosa and Bardet-Biedl syndrome, says Jeff Klass, K-L-A-A-S, Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer at the Foundation Fighting Blindness. We're proud to align this effort with our 2026 Vision Walk season and grateful for everything the Johnston family has built in such a short time. The fundraiser, Two Winners, One Drive. The Spring 2026 campaign features two grand prize winners, each receiving one of two luxury 2026 Toyota vehicles, generously supported in part by Wright Toyota and Westcott Designs. That's R-I-G-H-T Toyota and Westcott W-E-S-T-C-O-T-T Designs. 2026 Toyota Sequoia Capstone, and a 2026 Toyota Tundra TRD Pro, and $25,000 cash awarded with each vehicle. The first winner will select their preferred vehicle. The second winner will receive the remaining prize package. The campaign will be publicly launched at the Arizona Vision Walk on March 22, 2026, where both vehicles will be displayed. The fundraiser will conclude following the Bay Area Vision Walk, the final walk of the season in early June. About a race against blindness. A Race Against Blindness is a family-run nonprofit initiative co-founded by Dr. Stephen Johnston and Christina Johnston. In the 3 years since founding, they have turned a challenging situation into real hope. Their son was diagnosed with RP caused by BBS, and there was no hope for a cure. 3 years later, through innovative fundraising and unrelenting dedication, a potential therapy is on the horizon. In 2026 and beyond, they plan to continue to bring hope to others affected by similar vision loss conditions. Visit araceagainstblindness.org for more information. About the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Established in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness is the world's leading private funding source for retinal degenerative disease research. The Foundation has raised nearly $1 billion toward its mission of accelerating research for preventing, treating, and curing blindness caused by the entire spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases, including retinitis pigmentosa, age-related macular degeneration, Usher syndrome, and Stargardt disease. Visit fightingblindness.org for more information. For more information about the Spring 2026 fundraiser, visit that hot link. Media contact, A Race Against Blindness, press at araceagainstblindness.org. Foundation Fighting Blindness, C. Adams at fightingblindness.org. I do have time, so here are the results of that research report from AFB.org. The AI Quagmire, Benefits, Risks, and Aspirations Through a Disability Lens. Research report, March 2026. Artificial intelligence is infiltrating all aspects of our lives, shaping how people learn, work, communicate, and access essential services. For people with disabilities, including those who are blind or have low vision, AI promises the moon, enabling access to information across formats, supporting independence, and reducing long-standing barriers. At the same time, the expansion of AI introduces new and often poorly understood risks, including its own inaccessible design features, biased decision-making, privacy concerns, and over-reliance on systems that may not yet be accurate or equitable. The findings from AFB's National Survey of AI Users with and Without Disabilities highlight a central tension. AI is both a powerful accessibility tool and a source of emerging inequities. Participants reported widespread adoption of AI, meaningful benefits in communication and productivity, and strong interest in further skill development. Yet they also describe persistent accessibility barriers, challenges in high-stakes contexts such as employment and healthcare, and a clear preference for human interaction when privacy is at stake. The report, The AI Quagmire, Benefits, Risks, and Aspirations Through a Disability Lens, shares AFB's analysis of current usage trends, which can be used by developers, employers, educators, policymakers, and users themselves. We invite you to join us in leveraging this data to make intentional design choices, rigorous evaluation of AI tools, and shared accountability to ensure that AI expands access rather than deepens disparities. Read the report online. There is a bullet list of hot links that you can click. Executive summary, introduction, description of participants, AI learning methods, select uses and benefits of AI, harms of AI in various contexts, privacy concerns, aspirations for future AI, discussion, recommendations, and references. Download the report. Screen reader tip, the complete AI Quagmire report is greater than 50 pages in length, and Acrobat, by default, will only load one page at a time for longer documents. In a longer document, you can use Control plus page up or page down to navigate from page to page. Download the AI Quagmire report. Download the executive summary. If you have any questions, please get in touch with our Public Policy and Research Institute at research@afb.org. AFB webinar. Join us on Wednesday, March 25th at noon EST, that was already passed, for a webinar featuring guest speaker Maitreya Shah. That's Maitreya Shah. Technology Director at the American Association of People with Disabilities. Together, we'll discuss what the results from this report, the AI Quagmire, reveal about the disability community's trust in AI, what they could mean for developers, deployers, and policymakers, how the disability community's perspectives should shape the future of AI design and governance, and the key research questions that still need answers. There's a hot link for that webinar that passed. I hope it was on the website. Publication details. Authors, Ariel M. Silverman, Ph.D., Angie L. Whistler, M.S. Ed., Alyssa Schock, Psy.D., Carmel H. Haydarian, M.S., Sarah Elizabeth J. Bagoon, Ph.D., William E. Hanushak III, M.Ed., Mana Hashimoto, M.A., Omar Khan, B.S., Milan Vader, M.S. Language note. In this report, we have used both person-first language, people with disabilities, and identity-first language, disabled people, when describing disability. This is an intentional choice meant to honor differing preferences within the broader disability community, an approach supported in research literature, for example, Dunn and Andrews, 2015. In addition, we have used identity-first terms when specifically describing three disabilities, BLV people, meaning blind and low-vision people, DHH people, meaning deaf, deaf and hard of hearing people, and autistic people. This choice reflects the strong preference for identity-first language voiced by many members of these particular communities. Acknowledgements. We thank Sarah Malayer and Stephanie Anyar for developing the recommendations at the end of this report and for offering feedback on earlier drafts. We are also grateful to the working group of 19 disability organizations whose input shaped the survey questions and design. Suggest a citation. Silverman, A.M., Whistler, A.L., Schock, A., Haydarian, C.H., Bagoon, that's B-A-G-U-H-N-S-J, Hanushak, that's H-A-N-U-S-C-H-O-C-K, W-E, Hashimoto, A., Khan, K-H-A-N-O, and Vader, M-L, 2026. The AI Quagmire, Benefits, Risks, and User Aspirations Through a Disability Lens, American Foundation for the Blind. Image credit. Disability Inclusive Stock Photography Courtesy of Disability, In. Photographs by Jordan Nicholson, used under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Funding Acknowledgement. We thank the Ford Foundation for supporting American Foundation for the Blind's efforts on AI and workplace technology to ensure equal rights for people with disabilities. And now I'm out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.